What's up, fam? Welcome to Love Alive Church, the podcast, where we exist to help you find family, discover purpose, and change the world. Thank you for tuning in to this week's message. I hope that is a blessing to you and your family. Let's go.
Hallelujah! Glory to God. I thank you. I thank God for this opportunity. I thank God that... Can I be transparent? Yes. Glory to God. This year, this moment, this day, will be a year before I left my last church. Wow. So I don't believe this is just luck. I don't believe this is just chance at all. Yeah. But I believe God honors when you shift your position, He provides the blessing. I didn't know why or when or how or what was going to happen when I came here. I just obeyed. I just wanted God to be glorified, and I know the word He put inside of me. And I was saying to myself, God, I don't know what I'm going into. I built all these connections. I got all the titles at my last church. Nevertheless, not my will. But your will be done. So I don't think this is luck at all. I don't think this is coincidence at all that I stand before you a year to the day of me saying goodbye to my last church. I think God prophetically already knew the position. I know He knew. The position He was putting me in and the situation He was placing me in. So if you don't hear anything else what I say today, I want you to understand there is blessing in the position. Glory to God. I will be remiss before I go into this sermon. First and foremost, I hope I'm not terrible. He said, if you still clap, it'd be terrible. You know, I thank you right now. I got to thank Pastor Christian and Pastor Rowe. All the pastoral team, they've made me feel such hospitality. They built me up in this moment. Thank you. I want to thank them because every time Pastor Rowe texts me or we conversate, I end it with, it's an honor. Because I truly believe that. So I honor you on this stage, Pastor. Thank you. Thank you, Pastor Christian. Pastor Christian be looking so skeptical. She's like, thank you, Pastor Christian. And you see me, but what you don't see is prayers, dedication, sacrifice. You don't see what my wife do. So you see me on this stage. I need you to know that I'm a reflection of you, baby. I love you. Can I get a word now? That's enough. Glory to God. A prophetic sound through Pastor Rowe went forth in July that I will be preaching at Love Alive. So before it was seen, it was said. Now I need you to hold on to that because I'm going somewhere with that. This is how our Father operates. It's spoken before it's seen, and this principle is what triggers God to be pleased and unpleased when we don't use faith. Because God operates by the same principle He expects us to operate by. Glory to God. That principle is believing what He says before you see it. So soon as Pastor Rowe and Pastor Mike contacted me about preaching, and after I finished shaking like a 52 Chevy with my phone in my hand, So once I got over the nervousness, and once I got over the, God, what am I going to say in this moment? How am I going to say it? I know I've preached before, but not at this magnitude, God. Soon as I got over there, He gave me a word. Glory to God. And this is what He said. To release a sound in the atmosphere that matches the sound in heaven. Now, while I was worshiping right there, He said, I know I told you, release a sound. But the sound is not the important part. The important part is the release. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. To become so addicted with what he said and saying that you only speak from his perspective. Glory to God. To understand what God is saying, you can read the word of God. We can pull out our Bible app. We can look and see what God is saying that way. But there's another level to understand what God is saying. Because there's a difference between said and saying. Glory to God. You must be in constant communication with the Holy Spirit. See, most of us are familiar with the said. We even debate each other with the said. But it's a few, glory to God, that's in constant communication with the saint. But few of us are in the saint. The saint is what shifts you to a deeper relationship with God. And it also confirms the said. Glory to God. So God said to me, through the saying, we are being ushered into a season where we're about to experience the miraculous of law. But there's a protocol in order to receive the miraculous. And that's believing and speaking the miraculous to release it into the atmosphere. Glory to God. We have entered a season, there's no doubt in my mind, where we have become more intentional, and we have to become more intentional about what we say and what we proclaim. That we incubate our thoughts until they mature into proper words. Now, listen, I'm black. I don't say the word incubate. You never hear me say that. So God had to give me that word. So listen to me. So I had to look that up. I was like, God, what you mean by incubate? What you mean? I'm a pigeon? I got to be a bird? I got to be a pigeon or something? What's going on? So the definition of incubate is a bird sits on eggs in order to keep them warm and bring them to hatching. So I said, Holy Spirit, you got to make that make sense to me. You got to make that make sense spiritually to me. This is what he said. We sit on our thoughts until they match God's word. And then we hatch them. Glory to God. Let's go into the word. Genesis 1, 2, 10, the Amplified, the Classic Version. And listen, I need you to understand, I don't go to the thing, I go to the manufacturer of that thing. So whenever I want to hear from God, I don't go and ask the thing, I ask the creator of that thing. So we finna listen to what the creator says. Amen. So I start at verse 2. The earth was without form and empty waste, and darkness was upon the face of the very great deep. The Spirit of God was moving, hovering, brooding over the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light was good, suitable, pleasant, and he approved it. And God separated the light from darkness. 5. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, one day. And God said, let there be a firmament, the expanse of the sky, in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters below from the waters above. 7. And God made the firmament, the expanse, and separated the waters which were under the expanse from the waters which were above the expanse, and it was so. 8. And God called the firmament heaven, and there was evening, and there was morning, a second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be collected into one place of standing, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. God called the dry land earth, and accumulated waters he called seas. And God saw that this was good, fitting, admirable, and he approved it. Glory to God. Throughout Genesis chapter 1, God speaks and then he sees. So there is a declaration made and then there's a manifestation that takes place. Glory to God. A sound was made before the thing was made. See, that is the principle. A sound is made before a thing is made. Now, but this kingdom principle has been perverted by our reliance on our systems and our conditions. We need to see a thing. We need to hear a thing. We need to touch a thing. We need to smell, even taste a thing before we declare it to be. Making us sense rule believers. Glory to God. So what's the sense rule believe? I'm glad you asked me. A believer that allows their five senses based on conditions to dictate what he believes, making God's word secondary. Let's see that in a word. John 20, 24 through 29, the New King James Version. Now Thomas called a twin. He had a nickname. What's up, twin? One of the 12 was not with them when Jesus came. So Thomas wasn't even with them. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We seen the Lord." So he said to them, "Unless I see his hands, the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." Wow. Thomas was from Missouri. He's from the Show Me State. Now, after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, the door being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." Now that can preach right there. Yeah. Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your fingers here and look at my hands, and reach your hands here and put it onto my side." Yeah. Now he's showing Thomas, "Hey, I heard what you said. Yeah. So let me please your senses." Wow. Glory to God. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Now, a lot of us get to the point of "my Lord, my God" once God shows you something. A lot of us get to the point of we have to touch something, we have to see it, and then we say, "my Lord and my God." Glory to God. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." God revealed something to me about this after I revised this sermon 8 times. I had to come back and read this. And this is what God said to me, and I shared to you. The issue was his belief system had been perverted to trust his senses when Jesus died on the cross. See, a lot of people don't understand. Thomas really did believe in Jesus. He walked with him 3 years. You can't believe with somebody, leave everything you know, if you don't believe in them. But when he saw, when his senses saw him on the cross, those senses got perverted at that moment. Glory to God. So Thomas' senses experienced the death of Jesus on the cross, and Thomas' senses wanted to experience the proof that Jesus was alive, which caused doubt. So the same situation in which he had incurred the perverted his senses with his senses, he had to experience that same situation to see that if Jesus was real or not. Glory to God. So Jesus had to redirect Thomas to proper believing. And he wants to do the same with us, because we also get into situations where we need our senses, and it's been perverted and shifted out because of the situation. Somebody hurt you, somebody knocked you down, somebody put a blasphemous word on you or mischaracterized you. So what we need is our senses to be unperverted and be put right back in the proper belief system. Blessed are those who have seen and yet have not believed. So I don't look at the situation. I don't look at the problem. I look at the promise. Glory to God. Now I know how this goes. You hear me say, you should speak a thing before you want to see a thing. Because God spoke and it was manifested. So you're probably saying to yourself, "I'm not God. Who you think I am? You need to CC Jesus or something, because I'm not going to, I can't do that. I'm not God." But that's not what God says. Glory to God. Genesis 1, 26, 27 says, "Let us make man in our image and our likeness." And then they were created that way. We were made in the image and likeness of God. Glory to God. Now, this is what image means, because I got to break stuff down. I got to understand. I hear what you mean, God, when you say image. I hear what you mean, God, when you say likeness. But how can I make that relatable to me? How can I understand that? Image means mirror-like representation. And likeness means resemblance. One definition says this for likeness: portrait or representation. Glory to God. We are created as an internal and internal representation of God. Now, what do I mean by that? Because we're created in his likeness. We're created in his resemblance, but we're also a mirror-like portrait of him as well. So in the internal, we are spirit mans. We are spirit beings. So that means this. Listen, I was created in his image and his likeness, but I'm also created to display what he displays. Woo! As God speaks, we are to resemble his voice based on the fact we are made in his resemblance. We have the authority to prophetically create a sound that manifests our lifestyle. Woo. We are created to display a portrait of God in this earth by creating a sound that reflects what heaven is. We create what we release. So can I ask y'all a question? What sound are you releasing? Glory to God. Numbers 13, 25, 33. And let me just give you context to this. Moses sends out scouts from the 12 tribes to explore the promised land. Now, after 40 days, they returned. Out of the 12 spies, only two had a good report. Numbers 13, 25 through 33. After exploring the land for 40 days, the men returned to Moses, Aaron, and the whole community of Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They reported to the whole community what they seen and showed them the fruit they had taken from the land. This was their report to Moses. We've entered the land you send us to explore, and it is indeed a bountiful country, a land flowing with milk and honey. Here is the kind of food it produced. But the people living there are powerful, and their towns are large and fortified. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. The Amalekites live in the Negev, and the Hittites, the Jebusites, and Amorites live in the hill country. The Canaanites live along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and along the Jordan Valley. But Caleb tried to quiet the people as they stood before Moses. Yes. Let's go at once and take the land. He said, we can certainly conquer it. But the other man who had explored the land with him disagreed. We can't go against them. They are stronger than we. So they spread the bad report about the land among the Israelites. The land we traveled through and explored will devour anyone who goes to live there. All the people we saw were huge. There it is again, your senses. We even saw giants there, the descendants of Anak. Next to them, we felt like grasshoppers. And that's what they thought too. Wow. There's two type of sounds you can release. There's two type of sounds you can create. There's a sound that resembles heaven. Yeah. That's the first one. That sound that echoes and reflects the likeness of God. A sound that displays your faith in him by speaking to any condition the same way God would speak to it. We see this in that same passage. Numbers 14, 6, and 9, New Living Translation. Two of the men who had explored the land, Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, tore their clothing. They said to all the people of Israel, the land we traveled through and explored is a wonderful land. And if the Lord is pleased with us, he will bring us safety into the land and give it to us. It is a rich land flowing with milk and honey. Do not rebel against the Lord. See, he understood what they were doing at that moment. Do not rebel against the Lord and do not be afraid of the people of the land. They are only helpless prey to us. They have no protection, but the Lord is with us. Don't be afraid. Caleb and Joshua released a sound that displayed the likeness of God.
Come on, man.
Glory to God. We don't care about the people. Yes. It's whatever, cuz. Yeah. That's the Yule Standard Version. Don't worry about that. We got God, and they don't got no land. So we got milk, we got honey, and we got some big, big fruit. Glory to God. There's a sound that resembles heaven. That's what they made. But there's also a sound that resembles hell. That's the second one. Glory to God. Sound that reflects everything that opposes God's word. And it speaks death. And if you're not careful, your words can become your stronghold. Numbers 14, 1 and 4, the New Living Translation. This is what we see. The whole community began weeping out loud and they cried all night. Their voices rose in a great chorus of protests against Moses and Aaron. If only we had died in Egypt or even here in the wilderness, they complained. Why is the Lord taking us to this country only to have us die in battle? Our wives and our little ones will carry it off as plunder. Would it be better for us to return to Egypt? Can I make a point here? Fear makes bondage comfortable. Do you hear what I said? Fear makes bondage comfortable. They rather stay in wilderness or go back to being slaves than accept the promise God called them to. But when you're in fear, that's all you see. The comfortability of fear. Glory to God. If you keep going into the verse, verse 4 said, then they plotted among themselves, let's choose a new leader and go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back to bondage. If you keep reading, you'll see that they made a sound of disbelief. Discomfort. They rebelled because of fear. And it made God so mad he wanted to disown them and destroy them. We must be conscious spiritually of the sounds we release.
Come on.
What we release into the atmosphere takes life. Tupac and Biggie were two of my favorite artists. Incredible poets, incredible rappers. Both of them prophetically spoke sounds into the atmosphere that ultimately killed both of them. Biggie, first album was entitled Ready to Die. Throughout the album, okay, amen. Ready to Die. Throughout the album, he talked about death. Before he saw the release of his second album, he died. The title of that album, Life After Death. Tupac, I see death around the corner. His last video had him getting shot, dying, and then performing for other dead celebrities. They prophetically spoke and released into the atmosphere a sound that matched hell. So how do we release the sound of heaven? First, we understand that heaven in this context is a location, not a location, but it's an atmosphere we commune to display with who God is. We release heaven into this atmosphere before y'all even come here through our team meeting. We release angels into this atmosphere to protect us before y'all get here. Glory to God. Heaven is just isn't just a place where saints go when they die. Heaven is a place where God inhabits. It's the location where God's presence occupies. Heaven is wherever God's presence is. So I'll end with 4 points and remind you, y'all can come up.
Come on.
The first one is proper believing.
Come on,
glory to God. Blessed are those who have seen and yet have believed. We must believe first before we see it. Only believe with your spirit because it's the only man that communes with God's spirit. Nothing more. The second point is proper position. That is why I'm here today, because I position myself properly aligned with God's word. Position your heart to follow God's word. This is also an act of diligence. To properly release the sound of heaven, you must be in proper position. I have scriptures for every season, my favorite scriptures for every season that I enter. And right now, my favorite scripture is this. It's Psalms 119, 112, the ESV version. And it says this: I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. I incline my heart. I position my heart to perform your word, God, to the end. We must put ourselves in that proper position. The third point is intentional disregard. We must intentionally disregard everything that doesn't match the word of God. Our senses must be delegated to notify and not dictate. I said disregard, not acknowledge. That means you acknowledge, but you don't regard what you acknowledge. We must do that. There's scripture, John 11, 39 and 40. This is the Amplified Classic version. I'll be quick with this. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man is Lazarus, exclaimed, but Lord, by the time he is decaying and throws off an offensive odor, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you and promise you that if you will believe and rely on me, you will see the glory of God? See, she acknowledged and put her senses and her understanding based on her senses over the word of God and the promise, even over believing him. But Jesus had a mama moment with her. Did I not tell you and promise you that if you would believe and rely on me, you will see the glory of God? Intentional disregard. And the fourth is think and speak life. See, we know life and death is in the power of the tongue. We know that, but life and death is also in the power of the thoughts. So a man thinks. Amen. So you have to think the correct way to speak the correct way. My thoughts have to line up with my mind. My mind then lines up with my words. Glory to God. Colossians 3, 1 through 3, Easter ESV. It says, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died. You have died. And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Your thoughts are supposed to be what Jesus' thoughts is. Life or death is in the power of the tongue. We know that. But your thoughts are the seeds, and the word is the water. Put them together and you produce your harvest. Glory to God.